And with that, welcome to the Weekly Rundown. I'm your host, Keith. We are going to go over the movies that are released this week, being April 21st, 2014. We're going to cover all the movies that are coming out on DVD, as well as the movies that are on going to be in the theater as well. So, with that being said, let's get right into it. The first movie that we're going to talk about is called Big Bad Wolves. This was called the best movie of 2013 by Quentin Tarantino. The theatrical release was back in January, and the synopsis is: a series of brutal murders puts the lives of three men on a collision course. The father of the latest victim, now out for revenge, a vigilante police detective operating outside the boundaries of law, and the main suspect in the killings, a religious studies teacher arrested and released due to a police blunder. So one thing that you'll notice right out of the gate if you go watch the trailer is that it's going to be subtitled. It's an Israeli film, so it's going to have, reading for you to do. But also, note that since it's a Quentin Tarantino-like, you can expect a lot of the ultra violence, as well as a good dose of quirky comedy thrown into the mix, which if you're into some of QT's movies, this might be right up your alley. I checked out the trailer, and I could see that it's definitely of the type of movie that a Quentin Tarantino would make. And if you're a QT fan, go out and pick this one up. It's going to be in Redbox and in Netflix queue for sure. So, go check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, here she is now, that sultry siren of the Southland, Betty Page.
Betty Page is revolutionary.
The symbol of joyous sexual freedom.
There was nothing like Betty.
Still to this day, inspires artists,
music,
the fashion world.
She really paved the way for all the rest.
She wasn't just a pretty face.
There was a fascinating story about this woman.
Nobody can deny it.
Betty was so perfect, it would be hard to take a bad picture.
This combination of naughty and nice.
I never had any problem thinking of what to do with my body.
She was willing to do outrageous things.
For some reason, men like to see girls spanking the other one.
Repercussions from the New York hearings have been nationwide.
In the culture was an enormous amount of fear.
Know when and how you're going to say no.
Anything that got people sexually excited was a bad thing.
Somebody went to the police.
Here they are with drawn guns. What were we going to do?
And the judge said, you want to keep your freedom, have to destroy all the negatives.
I said, I won't do it.
Betty says, I'm not indecent. I will not plead guilty.
She reached the peak of popularity and disappeared.
Nobody knew what happened to Betty Page.
Oh, Betty, the world was not quite bad.
I heard a lot of crazy rumors.
She was hearing voices.
She was slinging hash.
She pleaded insanity.
The mob had rubbed her out.
It had built up so much that my mind snapped.
The whole Betty Page phenomenon developed while she was simply off the scene.
Three cheers to Betty Page!
It's sort of confusing whether she was a real person or not.
They claim that I opened up the sexual revolution.
Please,
I was just doing my job and enjoyed every bit of it.
Please,
so it's not often that I'm going to play the entire trailer in this show, but this one I thought was actually really good. You've got a real sense of what this one is all about. Betty Page, was born in 1923 and she died in 2008. She narrates the story in 1998, and you can hear she's an older woman. You get a sense of the person that she is. We've all had grandmothers, and she sounds like a grandmother at that point. But you realize that grandmother went back and probably spawned the sexual revolution. She was one of the early pioneers in Hugh Hefner's world, who was on here quite a bit in this particular movie. So it's a documentary, but I think it's a fascinating one because it gives us some insight to the world that was before. And I always look at these things with a little bit of sadness. I mean, the people that lived their lives and made cultural impacts that came before me. And, you know, so a lot of those have passed from the world. And as I reach middle age, you know, it's kind of fascinating to look at some of the lives of people that came before you. So this is one I've already put in my Netflix queue. I think you should too. If it's not available immediately out of the gate on demand, you should definitely get a copy of this somewhere.
One more time, who's the champ of the world? Well, in right hand, the best touch of the fight so far.
Come on, sucker.
The enemy wanted him to come out all blasted. But my line myself said no, no.
Ali was exemplifying a freedom that most black people did not enjoy.
We could not foresee the difficulties that would lie ahead as far as military service and, of course, the Muslim affiliation.
You won't fight for your country. You refuse to go into the...
I'm a minister of my religion. This country has laws for ministers.
Mr. Muhammad Ali has just refused to be inducted into the United States Armed Forces.
It took an all-white jury less than a half hour to find Muhammad Ali guilty of all charges and specifications.
I find nothing interesting or tolerable about this man. He's a disgrace to his country, his race, and what he laughingly describes as his profession.
I'm not allowed to work here now in America. I'm not allowed to leave America.
The exiled years were the worst years of me and Ali's life.
I'm not going to help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die then right here fighting you.
I have two alternatives, either go to jail or go to the army. But I would like to say that there is another alternative, and that alternative is justice.
And there we have yet another documentary that is being released this week. That is the Trials of Muhammad Ali, which was released in theaters in August of 2013. This movie focuses on Ali's refusal to serve in the military during the Vietnam War. Basically a decision that cost him his heavyweight title. And there's a lot of fascinating people that come in and speak about him on this particular DVD, and I think it might be one worthy of checking out if you're into, you know, into the, a great deal of the history surrounding boxing. And, you know, obviously he transcends boxing and has a legendary status in many people's eyes. So that's one I think you maybe want to check out. It's out there on DVD, released this week. And so to round out the first week of movies is Barefoot 2014. It is about the black sheep son of a wealthy family meets a young psychiatric patient who's been raised in isolation her entire life. He takes the naive young woman home for his brother's wedding. So this is another one of those sort of romantic comedies. It looks like standard schlock, looking at the video, for it, the trailer. It wouldn't be one that, I'd rush out to see. It kind of got panned pretty hard by virtually everyone. I didn't even hear about it actually being in the theater, though I assume it was. So it's probably not one I'd go see. It's only about maybe one notable character in the movie. J.K. Simmons plays the psychiatrist that talks to even Rachel Wood in the story, and I always enjoy seeing him because I obviously immediately think of Spider-Man and his role on there. But and he's kind of a really good actor, but this is a pretty crappy movie. But if you're into romantic comedies, this will be right up your alley, and it is available on Netflix and in Redbox. And that sound that just got your attention is telling you that we're headed to the theaters now. And we're going to talk about the three new movies that are in wide release this coming weekend on April 25th. The first one is called Brick Mansions. This movie is a movie all about the devastated city of Detroit. Essentially, there's an undercover cop tries to take down a ruthless crime lord with access to a neutron bomb by infiltrating his gang. This is taking place in Detroit, so let's think about this. They're trying to make sure that they don't blow the city up and devastate it. I think that the devastation in Detroit has already occurred, and it might be good to just wipe the slate clean and come up with something new there. What do you think? This is a decent movie, I suppose. If you're into an action flick, it's sort of mindless. Paul Walker's in it. David Bell, Catalina Dennis, and RZA, whoever that is. So it's rated PG-13. It's probably one I'd miss, maybe see it when it comes out of the theaters. Not expected to do a whole lot in the theater, maybe $6 million this week. Next up is one that I would normally sort of pass on, but this is called The Other Woman. It's rated R, and it's a comedy. It's a comedy R, which kind of is interesting for that aspect. It stars Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, Kate Upton, and some other people are in it as well. But the Nicolaj, that's the one that should be picking your curiosity, because it did as me as well. That is none other than Jaime Lannister. The synopsis on this one is that after discovering her boyfriend is married, a woman tries to get her ruined life back on track. When she accidentally meets the wife he's been cheating on, she realizes they have much in common, and her sworn enemy becomes her greatest friend. When yet another affair is discovered, all three women team up to plot mutual revenge on their cheating, lying, three-timing SOB. And you can already find out that it's more than just the three of them. There's other people as well. Jaime Lannister of Game of Thrones is just as evil in this. Now, I kind of also like it because you take a look at Leslie Mann, and you know, she's attractive, but she's an older lady. Cameron Diaz is supposed to be the lawyer and the younger chick or the better looking one or whatever that he's hitting on. And then they kind of both really get put in their place, even in the trailer when you see Kate Upton show up on the scene, and she's actually really stunning in the scene that she comes up in the trailer. So you kind of get this whole little circle of life thing going on. And yes, it sounds very much like First Wives Club to me with what they're going to do. They're going to try to take him down. I'm not giving away anything that wasn't in the trailer because I didn't see it. But, he's also cheating out his partners or something. So you get the whole gist of what the movie is. And I guess the movie is more about Leslie Mann becoming friends with Cameron Diaz, and Kate Upton, you know, joins the fray. And well, anyway, you get the point of this one. It actually might be fun to see, especially since it's rated R. That's the way we kind of do things now. Our comedies are a little more edgy, but I think it's going to be a lot of the tired Hackney shtick that we've seen before. I would completely pass, but I like Leslie Mann, and I like Jaime Lannister, and actually Kate Upton's not bad to look at either. So won't go to see it in the theater, but I'd see it on a disc. Finally, The Quiet Ones. This is going into a large release. It's coming out on Friday as well. It's PG-13. It's a thriller. Tucked away in an estate outside of London, Professor Coupland, along with a team of university students, conduct an experiment on Jane Harper, a young girl who harbors unspeakable secrets. What dark forces they uncover are more terrifying than any of them expected. This, I couldn't get a lot from this one. I couldn't really tell where they were going, whether this was truly supernatural or whether this was just all in her head, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I thought maybe this was a darker horror type thing, but I'm not sure, especially with the PG-13 rating. I'm not sure. This one, they didn't do enough in the trailer to make me want to go see it. I think it's supposed to do about 5 or 6 million as well. So that's the rundown of the wide releases. There's only one other movie that I think I'm kind of interested in hearing about how it does, or definitely seeing it when it comes out. It's got a very small release. It's called The German Doctor. It's not even playing anywhere around here. It is it's Argentinian, but it talks about Joseph Mengele. And that guy should ring a bell to you because, you know, obviously he was big in the Third Reich, one of Adolf's guys. And this is a drama, and it's a foreign film. It's a synopsis. It's a Patagonia. In Patagonia, an Argentine family lives with the Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele without knowing his true identity. While continuing his research into racial purity, Mengele gains the trust of the midget Lilith. The girl is flattered by all the attention he gives her and her doll, Wacolda, and does not discover his real intentions until way too late. Now, that sounds really scary. I don't even know how awful that movie could be, but it does sound like it would be a fun one to watch, just because it's done, you know, horror sort of drama things that are foreign generally tend to be pretty brutal, and I bet you this one will be pretty good to see. We won't get to see it in theaters, but when it comes out on disc, I will be telling you all, and it will be one that I will go see. So before we go into the straight news, let's talk about the box office for this last week and the weekend, and the box office coming up this next weekend. Number one this past weekend was Captain America at $25 million. They're continuing their run. It's already done $200 million, and this is almost unheard of. Captain America 2 is actually outpacing the original Iron Man. So if you kind of put that in light, obviously tickets probably cost a little bit more now than they did, but that is still very impressive for this franchise, which really wasn't that popular compared to Iron Man, and it's done really well in April. April has not really been a big month for these types of movies, but it seems like the production houses are trying to find different ways to extend the summer of movies. You know, usually it doesn't start till May, but with the success of this in April, we may be seeing more of that in the future, without a doubt. Second place opening new for the week was Heaven is for Real. I don't know a whole lot about that movie, but it came in at $22 million and in 2,400 theaters. Third place was Rio 2, who lost 40% in a week to finish with $22,159, just a little bit behind Heaven is for Real. And that's their second week of release, and that was in 3,900 theaters. Transcendence was number four. It was opened this past week. It didn't get really good reviews and only came in about $10.8 million. And rounding out the top five is A Haunted House 2, finished at $8.8 million. And movie was also in its first release and was only in 2,300 theaters, so that was a pretty good showing by A Haunted House 2. So when we look at this week, one of my little games that we're going to play in the future, and we'll actually make it a competition that where you can actually win stuff against. But for right now, where I'm just going to introduce my picks for this next week. So in this next week, we only have three new players in wide release this next week that we previously mentioned. My expectation here is that Captain America will continue to be number one, followed by Rio 2. And I believe that the other girl will take the third spot. I'm betting that Heaven is for Real will drop down. Even though it was only in 2,400 theaters, I'm still guessing that that's probably going to slip out because I think it had a big opening week and maybe not so much in the future. So that is my top three for this. And in the future, we will set up a little way for you to get involved and play. But we'll see how we do in this first week. Okay, in the news area this week, there's a couple of items that I kind of want to call attention to that's been released and are both kind of related a little bit. The first one is that Netflix is talking about raising their prices to new subscribers, and this probably is happening in connection with the recent increase that's been announced by Amazon Prime users. That it's kind of interesting because you know that they're really trying to close the gap between themselves and HBO. I mean, they have 48 million subscribers, and HBO has 130 million. So 48 million to 130 million is a big gap there. They're doing original programming as well, and I think that's the real interesting aspect is when they're able to create their own content, and when that content is perceived to be of value, I think that's where they become a real strength. Now, in the face of that, what's kind of interesting is that HBO itself is now creating a deal with Amazon Prime where a lot of their old series are going to be available in their full content. And this is kind of interesting because you're going to see Sopranos, you're going to see The Wire, Deadwood, Rome, 6 Feet Under, Eastbound and Down, Enlightened, Flight of the Conchords, and Oz. There's some other stuff that will be coming out as well as Boardwalk Empire and Treme and True Blood for the current seasons. And there's original movies that they're going to pull in. So this actually is going to really strengthen the Amazon Prime lineup by adding all those original series that were on HBO, which, you know, they really kept a pretty tight control of outside of being able to get those, as discs on Netflix. So that kind of goes in the face of Netflix and gives Amazon Prime a better position. The recent hike for Amazon Prime, I think I've heard it's going to be up to potentially $100 a year to be a part of their service. But truly, you get a lot more stuff with Amazon Prime than just the streaming anyway. You get free shipping on Amazon Prime products, and you also can get books, a lending library if you have one of their Kindles. So they're still a very big player, and actually this is really going to be encroaching on some of that Netflix space, you know, so as a competing service. So also announced was that Netflix is now going to show up on some DVRs for, I think, TiVo is initially out of the gate, which most people don't have anymore. But getting into those boxes out of the gate will help Netflix, but they're still battling the fact that they're the giant in terms of internet usage, and they have to pay for it. So otherwise, their quality will be degraded in watching their shows, as they can't actually, you know, swallow up all the bandwidth. So it's a very fascinating world that we now live in. You know, does anybody remember the word Blockbuster and those types of things? Now it's all Redbox and Netflix, and you know, Netflix has gone on to become an actual provider and creator of stuff. That is truly testament to innovative thinking, even though they blew it there for a while. But don't be too upset that you heard that they're raising prices. They recently did this over in Ireland, where they gave 2 years grace period for all current subscribers. Only the new subscribers had to pay for it. I mean, honestly, I pay for it. I pay like $20 a month or something for the plan that I have. And I got to be honest with you, I get a tremendous value out of it compared to what I pay my cable service provider for the content that they provide, which I do not enjoy nearly as well. I do not take advantage of as fully. I probably use Netflix more at a fraction of the cost. So if you're like me, this is all good news. We want to see more competition. We want to see it continue to excel and be able to have accessibility wherever we are, whenever we are, from now on. And finally, the item that I'd like to bring forward was related to the most recent Game of Thrones episode. And in this episode, and spoiler alert, there was a scene between Jaime Lannister and his sister Cersei in the chamber where their son was laid out, having died previously. And in this scene, it is depicted on screen that the coupling of the two was less than consensual. George Martin has distanced himself from that portrayal, obviously. He said that he was unaware that they were taking that tack. He's also gone on to say several elements are not quite necessarily the same, because in book you're obviously inside of Jamie's head. Even the director has said it was meant to be consensual, though it doesn't appear to be so. in the thing. And I you know, so I don't, it's generated a lot of controversy, but it does kind of bring to light that you don't necessarily have complete control as the writer from where the books are and where the story is going to be laid out on TV. I don't object to the way they've done it. There's some things that I didn't like. I think this showed him in a pretty poor light if it's taken to be as, you know, non-consensual, because that didn't seem like in the book, having read it, that was the way that they were portrayed there. And certainly Martin has said that was not the intention of that scene. But there seems to be a little more testiness between the two since Jamie has returned to King's Landing. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that all folds out with the, you know, the popularity of the show is tremendous. They've changed other points in the story, but it's not been in a negative way. They've kind of brought it back. I'm going to continue to watch the TV show. I'll continue to read the books, and I'm liking both. I'm not one of those people that says one's better than the other. And the author himself can't be anything less than completely happy that his show his book is being brought to the millions and millions of fans that are now part of that genre. So I thought it was interesting to bring it out there, and let's see what happens next. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Rundown. You can catch me live on the From Dusk Till Dawn network/radio on Wednesday nights with Traumatic Cinematic from 10 p.m. to 11:30. This show may be aired after that show at 11:30 p.m. You can also pick this show up regularly at moviecigarsandabrew.com. That is a podcast on iTunes with the name Movie Cigars and a Brew. And you can like me on Facebook, Movie Cigars and a Brew, or Traumatic Cinematic, or the From Dusk Till Dawn Network. It's been fun. Enjoy the movies this weekend.